I'm just going to shorthand it as Me Too stuff. The way that that sort of travels down the generations, and the way that it just seems to, it doesn't seem to stop. There doesn't seem to be an end.
That's Jennifer Weiner, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Jennifer Weiner is the number one New York Times bestselling author of 17 books, including Big Summer, Mrs. Everything, and the children's book, The Littlest Bigfoot. In total, she has over 15 million books in print, published in 39 countries. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, That Summer. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, in this latest novel, you examine some timely and some difficult issues. Tell us about the plot of That Summer.
So That Summer is the story of two women who are both named Diana, although one goes by Daisy. So Daisy, we'll start with her. She is a married lady living in the suburbs of Philadelphia. She has a daughter, she has a beautiful home, she has a little business, and yet she finds herself awake at night kind of with this gnawing feeling of emptiness and wondering if this is all there is for her. The other woman, the other Diana, is this glamorous, single, consultant, kind of globe-trotting, sophisticated. And Daisy starts getting the other Diana's emails. So she gets these emails that paint this picture of this woman leading this very glamorous, very alluring life. They end up meeting, they end up becoming friends, and then we learn that this meeting was not as accidental as Daisy initially believed. And we learn that there's a piece of shared history between these two women, and it turns into a story about friendship and about trauma and about atonement and justice and how to decide what kind of person you're going to be in the world. Which I know makes it sound super duper heavy, and I promise you it's not. It's got some fun, it's got a little escapism and some joy, and it's set on the Cape, so you're going to get to read about a beautiful place and some delicious food, and there's some, you know, some fun romance, but I guess I'd say it's like a beach read with some heft.
Well, and the book opens with Daisy's daughter and a situation that she's dealing with at her private school.
I wanted to talk about the way that, I'm just going to shorthand it as Me Too stuff, the way that that sort of travels down the generations, and the way that it just seems to, it doesn't seem to stop. There doesn't seem to be an end. And I'm getting ready to send my 18-year-old daughter off to college. And I think a lot of this book was born from my own anxiety about that and just thinking so much about what kind of world am I sending her into? And is that world different than the world I entered when I was 18? And if it hasn't changed enough, how do we change it? So Beatrice she's a feminist and she's an activist, and she gets kicked out of her prep school for basically confronting a wrongdoer in a way that the school decides is inappropriate. But it was just really interesting to write a teenage girl who is completely confident, who has absolutely no doubt in the correctness of her beliefs, and who isn't plagued with any insecurities. I really had a ball writing Beatrice.
I think your book also asks the question, especially with that opening scene with Beatrice, about how these things are handled within school systems. For example, you know, there's a need to protect privacy in case someone is wrongfully accused. But on the other hand, is the system weighed toward protecting the perpetrator?
Yeah. So I was thinking a lot about another big question I think that the book takes on is, what do we do with these men, right? What do we do with the men who've been quote unquote Me Too'd? And I was thinking a lot about Louis C.K., who was one of the very first people to be accused repeatedly and credibly of some pretty heinous stuff. And he lost some work. He went away for a year, kind of disappeared. And then 12 months later, he's back and he's selling out comedy clubs. And it's like he went and sat in the naughty corner for a little while and then just returned and didn't do what I would consider any of the like reparative justice stuff. Like, how do you fix what you broke kind of thing? And are we going to require that of these men? And because they're not going to go away forever. Like, you know, as much as we might wish it in some of their cases, like they're going to come back. And I wanted to think about and hopefully have my readers think about, what does that look like? And how do we as a society kind of handle these transgressors?
So I guess that begs the question that in addition to being an engaging story, it sounds like there's a takeaway for readers here as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to do anything really pat, like leaving readers with, you know, my political philosophy and that's the way it has to be. I want them to think about it. And honestly, I want them to think about it because I don't think I know the answers to this. And I just wonder about it a lot because there's men and there's boys. And, you know, I think about the Stanford swimmer case. Like, he's going to be with us, that young man, for many, many years to come. And I worry that for so many of these guys, the message that they're getting isn't don't do it because it's wrong or don't do it because it's harmful. The message that they're getting is just don't get caught. And that is not, I don't think, what we want to be leaving people with. I think we want there to be a slightly more nuanced understanding of what it means to inflict that kind of harm and then how you atone for it.
I'm talking with Jennifer Weiner. Her book is That Summer. And I think you raise a very good point because you're in your book, well, I don't want to give away, you know, anything, but it does talk about consequences, how having this experience affects one's life as the victim, but also if the perpetrator does not, you know, see the, you know, what they did was wrong, how that impacts their life as well and how they proceed, you know, after that experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk about the way a trauma resonates and the way, just like you said, the way that it echoes through the life of the victim, but also through the life of the perpetrator who goes on to, you know, be kind of an upstanding citizen in the world, somebody we would look at and not see a guy who had harmed other people. It's interesting because I think that certainly there's one character who's sort of been harmed in this very profound way, but when you read closely, you'll start to see that every single woman in the story has been touched by some aspect of Me Too-ism, whether it's the generation that's the grandmother of this teenage girl or the mom and her generation of this teenage girl or the girl herself. Like, it just seems to echo down through the generations. And I just was thinking so much about, like, how do we confront this? How do we stop this? Can we stop this? What does repair even look like? And I will tell you, I wrote the ending of this book. I must have written it like five different ways. And because I just couldn't decide, like, what do I want to happen to the transgressor? What does justice look like? And I don't know if I know. And I mean, certainly there's not a one-size-fits-all answer. And I think that that's one of the problems that we're having because it's like there's a whole range, you know, where you've got sort of Harvey Weinstein at one end of the spectrum, somebody who's in jail and should probably stay there forever and ever and ever, to, you know, more mild offenses that are committed by much younger people, maybe. And it's like, well, what do we do with them?
A lot of questions that this novel raises, and unfortunately, questions that a lot of people are wrestling with. Talking with Jennifer Weiner, the book is That Summer, the title, I'm assuming, because of an event that took place one summer with one of the characters.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The working title of the book was The Two Dianas, because both of the protagonists are named Diana, even though one goes by Daisy. And I really liked that title. I thought that it spoke to the kind of the duality of these two women, the different paths that they both ended up going down. My publisher felt very strongly, though, that summer needed to be in that title somewhere, given that we're selling the book and hoping that lots of people are going to take it on summer vacation with them. And so it became That Summer. And it's the second book in what I am thinking of in my head as my Cape Cod trilogy. And I'm working on book three right now, which is going to be called The Last Summer.
Okay, so I have Big Summer, That Summer, and The Last Summer.
It's hilarious. It sounds like a Who's on First routine. Like somebody was asking me the other day, she's like, did you have a new book come out this week? I'm like, oh yes, it's called That Summer. And she's like, well, didn't you have a book with summer in the title last year? I'm like, yeah, last summer was Big Summer, but this summer is That Summer, and next summer is going to be The Last Summer. And she just kind of stared at me. I'm like, what can I tell you? That's what they're called.
Well, Jennifer, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, okay. I would spend a day with Beatrice, who is the teenage cottagecore taxidermy enthusiast, because she is sort of, I gave her the best parts of my own two daughters, Lucy and Phoebe. I sort of, not their hobbies. I mean, neither one of them is into dead mice, as far as I know, but I gave her a lot of their wit and their confidence. I had so much fun writing about a teenage girl who is not plagued by self-doubt, who doesn't hate her body, who doesn't think that everything she does is stupid and wrong. Like, she's a girl who just really has figured out a way to believe in herself. And I would love to spend a day with her. I think that she would be a lot of fun, and she would take me to all the best thrift stores.
Beatrice, one of the characters in That Summer, the latest novel by Jennifer Weiner. And Jennifer, I want to talk to you about the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of your debut novel.
I'm so old.
Good in Bed. Now, I understand, you know, obviously for a debut novel, it sold over 2 million, you know, copies. So congratulations for that. But I understand it's also been picked up to be made into a movie. Tell us about that.
Good in Bed was optioned when it first came out by HBO like a million years ago, and nothing ever came of it. And then, you know, time goes by, and Mindy Kaling optioned it to both produce and star. So boy, did I win the jackpot there. It's just been such an interesting road with that book, because I tell people all the time, like, you never have the kind of freedom to write that you do with your first novel, because you don't have an agent, you don't have a publisher, you don't have readers who are sort of eagerly awaiting the next thing that you do. There's no expectation. And so you can write with all the freedom in the world and just put anything in the book that you want, even if you have to take it out later. And I think back to who I was when I wrote that book, you know, and I was single, I'd been dumped, I was lonely, I was heartbroken, and just thinking, like, I'm going to write about a girl like me and give her a happy ending, and how that felt, and how I can remember, like, feeling like the first time I smiled, and I don't even remember how long it was, when I decided to name the horrible ex-boyfriend Bruce Guberman.
I want to talk to you about another one, because if that weren't enough, your book, Mrs. Everything, has also been optioned. What's the story there?
So Mrs. Everything is my big generational swing for the fences novel. It follows two sisters through like 70 years of American history. And it's there's a producer attached, there is a star attached, but I can't say who it is because it hasn't been announced yet. And that one, I think, is going to be a limited series. So it's the kind of thing that'll run for like 6 episodes or 8 episodes. And I just, my attitude with adaptations is always like, I did my work when I wrote the book, and I just want it to be their story to tell, whether, you know, the screenwriters, the producers, the stars, the directors, like, I want them to feel like they have all the freedom in the world to tell the story to the best of their abilities. And I'm just going to be the most appreciative fan. So that's my stance. I'm just waiting to see what they do with it.
Again, the current novel is That Summer. It's by Jennifer Weiner. Jennifer, thank you for talking with me today.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.